Hello, it's Paul O'Mahony welcoming you on an evening, a dry evening for once, at 20 to 7 in Cork in Ireland. And I'm driving home after work. And that's it. And the reason for this audio boo is that it suddenly struck me that how curious I was about what other people had done during the day today. And I then said, well, if I'm curious about what you've been doing today, maybe somebody out there would be curious about what I'm doing today. So I'm going to try to give you a bit of information about what I did during the day today, and I'm going to try and do it in a interesting and relatively crisp way. So I'm going to talk fairly fast. So okay, let's get this clear. To start with, I took my daughter to school. That involved leaving home, driving underneath the tunnel of the River Lee and dropping her off on the other side, and then heading for a hotel. Yeah, I headed for a hotel because my business doesn't have an office at the moment, and I'm peripatetic, or whatever you call it, itinerant, if you like. Anyway, so off I go. I drive down to the River Lee Hotel in Cork. Well, I nearly went to one hotel. Decided that that hotel was doing my back in if I went back there for yet another meeting or another day there. So I try somewhere else. I went to the River Lee Hotel, which is right down the centre of Cork. And the river runs right alongside it. So, hey, that wouldn't surprise you. But the interesting thing about this hotel is that it changed its name. It used to be a meeting place in Cork, Meet You at Jury's in Cork. Loads and loads of people knew it, and a few years ago it was courageous enough to change its name to something that didn't seem to make any sense to me at the time, I have to admit, and is now making a whole load of sense. So off I go down there, and I started tweeting to say, does anybody fancy meeting me during the day, this morning actually, for a cup of tea or a coffee or a natter? I said, I have to take a break from work at some stage. And I had a exchange of tweet with somebody, and I carried on working. I said to myself, "Well, nobody's going to want to meet me anyway, but at least I like seeing what might happen by accident." And then, completely out of the blue, comes the hotel general manager, who I've never met before. In fact, I was tweeting about being in the hotel, and I found out that there was a person, a woman, who I had this vague feeling I had been in contact with her before, but when I looked at her Twitter profile, I realized that I didn't follow her. So I thought, well, maybe I made a mistake. Anyway, her name was very familiar, and I thought, well, she's doing her own account, and she's also doing the hotels, because she said she spent most of her week in the hotel. And so I thought no more of it, and suddenly this young man arrives, and his name is Rory O'Connor. And he turns out to be the general manager. And we have a great, great discussion. And that was the next phase of the day. And in order to move this on, I won't tell you what the discussion ended up being about. But it was about a lot of different things very quickly. And then off he goes, and I go back to work. And after a while, I don't think I met anybody else in the hotel. A load of stuff was done on Skype. Now, yeah, that meant that I kind of brokered a situation where two people, one South African, one Irish, one based in Limerick, one based in Cork, actually communicated with each other via instant messaging on Skype, while two others of us, the non-technical people, if you like, just watched, absolutely watched every single move between the two people, and watched the two people who had never communicated with each other before, watch them build rapport. Sorry, I made a mistake. One of the people wasn't in Limerick. Did I say Cape Town in South Africa? Yeah, it was Cape Town, South Africa, joined to Cork, right? And we watched them relate to each other. We watched them do the business together. And we actually watched them say goodbye to each other. And it was an education. And it was beautiful, I would have to say. And it was all a delight to me because I've got a knotty problem and both of these people are essential to the solution of it. And if only they were the only people essential to the solution of it, but that's another story. Anyway, that worked and that was just music. I knocked up a blog post. What I really mean is I uploaded a blog post that I had written yesterday. Before I did it, I had to add a couple of hyperlinks and do a little topping and tailing to just present it in a way. And that was it. And that gave me a real boost, actually, because I've discovered that it really feels good when I, to use Seth Godin's term, when I ship a blog post every day. Anyway, back to the issue. So off I go. Then I walk out of the place and I head for my fresh air. I haven't any food at this stage and I'm feeling hungry, but I go across to the short walk to the Tyndall Institute, Tyndall National Institute, which is a world-class centre for nanotechnology in Cork that nobody knows about. And when I say world-class, I really do mean world-class. I do not mean just good for Cork standards or good for Irish standards. This is way up there with the best research institute in Belgium and the top ones in Canada. And it's highly, highly regarded amongst those who know, and it's hardly known at all by anybody around here. I'm not exaggerating to make my point. It's very few people even know where it is. Now, I went into that place. I had no appointment. And I, anyway, through various means, I got let in. And I actually ended up having a brief contact with the marketing manager for the Tyndall Institute, who's a superb woman who I'm doing some work with. And so she was too busy. She had to go and do a big presentation. She hadn't actually expected to see me today, by the way. So I simply had fish. I had a piece of cod with chorizos. I had a big amount of what do you call those things that you grow in water, rice, and I had a ratatouille. So a huge plate of food was consumed. I did some other things I can't remember while I was doing that, and eventually I left the Tyndall to head for to meet a man I hoped who's the landlord, potential landlord's agent. So conversations with, I thought, well, I'll drop in and see this man, and we'll have informal chat before a formal exchange of offer and rejection, and bleeding all over the carpet, and a counter offer, and more bleeding over the carpet, and because that's the way these things work in Ireland. You don't state your best price and the other person states their best price. No, you kind of look... Anyway, all that negotiating on that will come about. At the same time, I wanted to get in touch with the legal company in Ireland, in Cork, that had won a groundbreaking case in the European Court of Human Rights, and was on the front page of the paper today for that. I'm too tired to tell you what the case was about, but it was incredibly important. I was thrilled about what had happened. It was a solicitor's practice that we had done some work for, only a little. Would have liked to have done more, but only did a little. And I was just over the moon that this company, which is long established, but that the owner, the founder of the company and everything like that, had at last had some public recognition, because this is a company which had previously done huge groundbreaking cases. I think of them as a knight in shining armour coming over the horizon to right a wrong that has been done. I mean, that's basically the image I have of this company. But of course, well, not of course, but the company doesn't project that as its image. But anyway, that remains to be seen if they ever rebrand themselves. I did actually run into, by accident, his son, who is an entrepreneur, a serial entrepreneur in Cork. And I spoke with him about his father. I told him a story about the conversation went on to my wife and I this morning about this groundbreaking case and what, actually I don't mind saying it, Ernest J. Cantillon had won in Strasbourg. That was that. This guy actually owns the place I was in, and he and his business partner, three of them own it, but I met two of them, and had a short chat with them, and then I got talking to, or had a meeting with, in the same place a little bit later on, the landlord's agent, and that turned out to be extraordinary. I thought it would last 10 minutes while we would just, you know, quickly run through the five or six questions I had, get informal, without prejudice. Anyway, get him to tell me what the situation was prior to it all being written down and worked into a contract. But anyway, not only did I have those chat with him, but it turned out that he was actually, he didn't really know what we did. He kind of, and I didn't know if he would understand what we did. That's the bottom line, really. Sometimes I never assume that anyone at all understands what branding is about. You know, I actually think it's, you know, for a lot of people, it's about as obscure as SEO is to me. And even though I know it's good, don't understand how it's done. I think a lot of people might think, well, branding is good, but I don't know how it's done. And of course, then there's the whole tranche of people who are dead against branding anyway, and you know, say, well, look, I'm against branding. I wouldn't dream of branding, and they think branding is trickery. So basically, but I found myself in the company of a man who, you know, we had an exchange about the potential property, and I still don't know if it's going to come off, by the way. So it's not as if we're late stage in the negotiations. We, you know, we may well have an exchange of about four different letters before anything happens, and even then we might both walk away from the deal. But it turned out that this man, I mean, I had views on branding. I showed him a credentials document that we had just literally had, was almost off the printer, if you like, to give him some sort of an idea of what we did as a company. And he was, looked through that carefully, and he was actually in the building, in one piece of our work. He was in a bar, restaurant, fish bar, and every piece of it was branded by us, and he was interested in that. But he then started talking about branding in a very, you know, unjargonistic way. Totally understood. We had a long discussion about Michael O'Leary and what had happened there, and we talked about Avoca, which is the strongest. Forget Guinness for a minute because they're a special case. But Avoca might be the best branded place in Ireland. You know, people will argue about that. Certainly it's got a very, very strong brand, clarity, everything about it is great. And it turned out he knew he was in touch with Avoca himself. And of course, I'm actually looking to get in touch with Avoca. So that is a sheer chance matter. And then, you know, he'd started telling me what he thought about branding, and all I could think of was, oh, look, next time I have to go in and see a company, you know, you come with me, you do the spiel, and I'll just simply sit there and listen, because he'd have more credibility than me. I mean, I probably talk faster than him when I want to, and but he was so good, and I couldn't exaggerate, and I remember he went off. And I told Jonathan, my business partner, look, you won't believe this. The guy who I was going to talk to about, you know, something as potentially boring as, you know, can we rent this office space off you? Can we brand the building and, you know, blah, blah, blah? Or can we have half the building because we can't afford the whole of the building? And can we share it with other people? All that sort of stuff that is going on, and I don't want to go into the details because, you know, that isn't the purpose of this audio. But the whole thing, it turns out to be a discussion with a man, and I started writing down what he was saying. I mean, I wrote down words in my notebook, and he had never met me before, so, you know, most people would find that a bizarre thing to do. You're having a little chat with somebody. Well, I'm so used to having a Moleskine notebook in front of me when I'm having even completely casual conversations with people. In fact, I find that they're even the ones I need them for most, because people will drop nuggets of things like, oh God, I was listening to this bit of music last night and I'll never have heard of the band, so I'll jot that down. Or I was watching this video, or I saw, you know, this film I'd never heard of, you know, I suggest you go to it. any of those kind of things, or here's a restaurant, or, you know, whatever. I jot notes down. So I was writing down notes of what he thought about Ryanair. Because I have a big blog post in my head, which is yet to be written, but it's precisely about the question of how expensive it is to change your personality in business, which is, in case you know about this, which is exactly what Ryanair, the airline, is in the process of doing, changing their brand personality. And that doesn't half cost an awful lot of money, especially if it's going to be a radical departure, which the Ryanair one is going to be. And the man used the word unbelievable in something he said, and I thought, yeah, that's absolutely the word I need to remember tomorrow if I do write out this blog post, because what Ryanair are doing is essentially, you know, unbelievable, meaning that people, a whole raft of people, do not believe they're going to do what they say they're going to do. And they think that it's, you know, another tactic of Ryanair to get publicity, and that it means feck all, and that they're, you know, always going to be, you know, a very rough and rigid and, you know, cheap company to deal with. And he also told me what impression he had of the Ryanair website. Anyway, I'm going on about this because it was absolutely, you know, memorable. And he also then, you know, and he took the credentials document away. I showed him that. So, and actually, that leads me to say that I forget who else I gave the credentials document, because if I go right back to the beginning of the day when I walked into the Rivoli Hotel, what did I see but two people from an organization, a business networking organization called BNI, sitting at a table. And I knew that they had a meeting. They had had a meeting in the hotel, and I knew that I'd been to their BNI chapter about 3 years ago, and I have had no contact with them since. And I thought, well, let me just see if I, you know, if... And one of the people I'd met before at BNI, but I couldn't remember her. And this other guy was from... what country was he from? Anyway, he's from some very interesting country. South Africa. Yeah. He was from the east coast of South Africa, not far from Durban. East coast, yeah. And so, in a nutshell, leaving out, you know, quite a few Skype calls and quite a lot of... I probably left out the fact that in the middle of the day as well, I did a bit of social networking via Facebook, you know, a secret Facebook group that Chris Brogan set up, and, you know, a little bit more, a few other things like that. And that's it. And it's now 3 minutes to seven, or 18:58 to be exact, by my watch here. And my friend Roger Overall's in London, and I just saw a man with a dog walk as I drove past his house, and it looked awfully like him, but I know he's in London. He had one of these yellow luminous jackets on, and he just reminded me of Roger. So if you're listening to this, Roger, which I guess I'll have to send it to you because you're so bloody busy you couldn't possibly listen, can't find it in the normal stream of affairs, but I will send it to you just because you get a mention. So that's it. That's like, you know, a day, and to be truthful, it's not an ordinary day in the life, I have to say. You know, in the middle of it, I know I sent somebody a direct message on Twitter saying, you know, unless I send you an email tonight, I won't go home. And actually, I delegated the writing of the email to John, Jonathan, because otherwise I'd be back home later. And anyway, it's good for him to practice writing emails. He writes great emails, but he doesn't write short ones, you see, so I thought it'd be good for him to write a short email. What else can I say? Nothing else, really. I'd love to hear the details of other people's day at work, if you like, because, I mean, many of you will do completely different kinds of jobs than I do, and that's why I'll be interested, you know. And frankly, if you were working in a widget factory, I'd be absolutely interested.